From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Fairfax, California.
Glen Park.
Fillmore.
I'm from San Jose.
I'm from the Intermission.
UCCC World.
West Oakland.
East Oakland.
Coming up, we'll visit a street where everybody wants to buy a house.
We fixed it up to where, first of all, everything is brand new, so you can't keep the good tenants.
Across town, the Oakland Community Land Trust has another approach to acquiring property.
We're buying the least desirable houses, the ones that have sat on the market a long time, that the investors have passed over.
And we'll pause at a building in downtown Oakland that brings one man solace and peace.
I'm not planning on becoming a Catholic anytime soon, but as long as I live in Oakland, I'll keep coming back to my favorite refuge by the lake.
Homes and where our hearts are. That's today on Cross Currents. Mead Avenue is a single block in West Oakland. You can find it in the triangle where San Pablo Ave and Market Street meet. Like streets in a lot of low-income communities, Mead Avenue has seen poverty, gangs, gun violence, the crack epidemic. There's a church on the corner, a Boys and Girls Club across the street, and a nonprofit dedicated to men's health close by. But none of those things may be as important to Mead Avenue's future as that big thing our economy revolves around, real estate. Here's Derek Suring. He's a real estate agent in Oakland.
Well, everyone's basically gobbling up material and properties wherever they can.
You can see that all over the Bay Area. San Francisco rents are the highest in the nation, higher even than New York City. A two-bedroom apartment will run you about $2,000 a month. But just a seven-minute BART ride away is West Oakland.
The rent's there. You can get $1,500 in rent for a two-bedroom, one-bath in West Oakland. So for to buy a house that's, you know, for $100,000, put in another $50,000 to $60,000, fix it up, you got instant cash flow.
And that is changing the streets of West Oakland. To see how, we're going to take you to Mead Avenue. Here's reporter Charlie Mintz.
Let's start on Market Street, by the liquor store. We'll walk east, go past the dudes in baggy jeans. They're there all day. See that guy with the slick back hair, wife beater, the gold tooth, and the broom?
The check came already. I'll call you back. I'm with somebody right now.
That's Ahmed Saeed.
I'm here every day, three times a day, sweeping the streets. And because I do have a couple of properties on Mead, you know, I'm not trying to change the block, like, dramatically. I'm just trying to clean up. It's like, you know, leaving the bathtub dirty. If you don't put no comment down there, it's going to stay dirty.
Saeed bought his first property on Mead in 2001. It's that two-story white house across from us. In total, he owns six houses here and says he'd buy more.
You know, if it comes my way and some money comes by or I hit the lotto, why not? We could change Mead to Ahmed.
Behind Saeed is a green one-story house with a garden out front. Tabby wanders the yard. Saeed picked this one up last year for $70,000. A lot of drug dealing and prostitution used to go on there, under a pine tree whose roots had split the sidewalk. Now the pine tree and the crime are gone. A couple of UCSF students live there.
We fixed it up to where, first of all, everything is brand new, so you can't keep the good tenants.
Saeed's pragmatic, all business. Like he says, he's not trying to transform the block. But just down the street, there's a landlord who is.
But look at this. Look at this. This is so beautiful. Look at the sidewalk. The sidewalk is impeccable.
Alex Miller-Cole owns 861 through 865 Mead. It's a fourplex he bought for $175,000 in 2010.
The idea that we have, which has worked, is to buy the worst property possible. So we find whichever is the most troublesome street, the one that has the crime, the open drug market, the prostitution, the shootings, and we find which is the house that is the problem.
Miller-Cole has bought six places in West Oakland that fit this description. His goal is to fix each one up and
completely improve it beyond what anybody would expect.
Then he seeks out people from the neighborhood to rent to, people who've been foreclosed on or people who just need some help. He also plants street trees. He's helped plant more than 500 around West Oakland. He says they make a big difference. Mead Avenue was as good a test of this strategy as any street. For years, residents and city officials knew it as one of the most dangerous blocks in West Oakland. In 2010, there were six aggravated assaults reported, two homicides. But as of November 1st, 2012, Mead Avenue had only one reported aggravated assault, a shooting. there also haven't been any homicides this year or last year. So if the neighborhood isn't exactly safe, it's definitely moving in that direction. Something else on Mead Avenue is changing too. The people who live there.
I just became a citizen on May 5th of this year. I intend to live and die here. So I'm very interested that this whole place gets better.
Since World War II, West Oakland, and Mead Avenue is no exception, has been predominantly black. But Ahmed Saeed is Yemeni, Alex Miller Cole is Mexican, and Chris Alonji, he's white.
This is the property you own?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Across the street from Miller Cole's fourplex is one of Alonji's projects. It's a white Victorian with blue trim. There's a garden in back.
The whole place was vacant because it was a foreclosure. The porch was all caved in. The doors were all kicked in. There's just like needles and mattresses. So I had to tear out the floors in the back two bedrooms because of it was a drug lab. And somebody locked the dog in there until it died.
Things are pretty different now.
Leon!
How's it going?
How are you doing?
Ilya Lazowick is a smiling ball of energy. She lives in the upstairs unit of Alonji's duplex, along with three roommates and her goldfish. She says she notices the drug dealers on the corner, but doesn't mind. It's just part of living in a city.
That's where I'm from. It's a very predominantly white, like, town, like, small town in Oregon. Like, and I moved down here, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm the white girl. Nobody really, like, treats you that differently. They're just kind of like... You are a little more conscious of it, though, than, like, you would be in, like, other places, like up in Piedmont.
I can relate. It's easy talking to the landlords on Mead and some of the newer tenants, but I want the perspective of someone who's lived on the street for a while. This proves to be difficult. When I walk east on Mead towards San Pablo Avenue, I get a lot of menacing looks. A group of teenagers on the stoop call me a cop. An older guy opens his door, glares at me, and lets his pit bull out. It runs around the yard, barking. As I approach the end of Mead Avenue, I finally find someone willing to talk.
My name is Leroy Stanfield Sr. I've been living on 825 Mead Avenue since 1974.
825 Mead is an old red and white Victorian that stands out from the other houses on the block. Its original owners were Chinese, and the decoration reflects that. Stanfield's lived in the house since 1967, when it was his mom's.
At one time, this block, is one block long, was the worst block in Oakland, California.
Still, at the top of the market, his house was worth $500,000. Now it's fallen to about half that.
But I think the property is going to go back up within the next 5 years. It's going to be going the right way. Because the neighborhood is coming pretty clean. A whole lot cleaner than what it used to be.
Stanfield is a rare creature. He's a longtime West Oakland resident who's also likely to reap the benefits of rising home prices. Local housing activists worry that there just aren't enough people like him. The median income in West Oakland is about half what it is in the rest of the city, and the neighborhood had some of the highest foreclosure rates anywhere in Oakland. Robbie Clark works with the nonprofit Casa Justa Just Cause.
So yeah, so people that live in the neighborhood are, you know, definitely like... have had like an economic crisis before this economic crisis, and there still needs to be housing that addresses that.
Clark says new landlords coming in won't help those people.
There's an investment in the properties, but not in the actual people who live here. So you don't really have the people of this neighborhood reaping the benefits off of those profits.
For now, the neighborhood remains in flux. Directly across from Leroy Stanfield's place is a vestige of Mead Avenue's past. It's a two-story house with boarded-up windows, a gate slung across the front steps. It's abandoned. I have to go across San Pablo Avenue and climb to the second floor of an otherwise vacant building to find its owner.
My name is Jeff Creer, a resident of Oakland since 76, 74 years of age, co-owner of several parcels of property in the city of Oakland.
Creer's in an uneasy place. He doesn't share his fellow landlord's optimism about the newcomers, but he's not crazy about the current residents either. He keeps all of his properties boarded up because he says he doesn't trust any tenant who'd want to live here.
Does it make sense for me to buy buildings and, you know, and spend money to meet the city codes of habitability and all, and then just board the buildings? No, it doesn't. Part of the reason that I board up buildings is to make a point, is look,
I will sacrifice financially to get across a point that I'm only interested in the right type of tenants.
By the right type of tenant, Creer means not a drug dealer, not a drug user. But walking down Mead Avenue, I'd seen lots of people who seemed like they'd fit the bill. So I asked Creer to come down and show me his place.
We see 814 Mead. This is my building here.
We come to a big old Victorian. It really would be nice if Creer took the gate off the stairs, the boards off the windows, and scrubbed off that graffiti.
How do you feel when you see it?
We'll probably open it up, put some more paint on it.
This would be if he ever decided to sell it. And if he does, Creer says the guy he'll give first look to is Ahmed Saeed. As it happens, he's walking up the street towards us.
Ahmed.
See what I mean?
Hey,
yeah,
you see? How you doing?
All right, fine.
All right. About, he's been around here the longest out of all of us.
I told him.
But he told me 5 years ago, he said, look, I used to be like you, fire in my stomach. He said, أهلاً كيف حالك؟ يا مرحبا. يا بنت. عمايل هنا. He said, I used to have fire in my stomach just like you. He said, when I was younger. But now he's 70-some years old. He had enough of it.
If Creer's had enough of it, there are plenty who still want more. Prices in West Oakland are going up. That means Mead Avenue will keep changing. But it's not clear what that means for the neighborhood. 80% of West Oaklanders rent. That means 80% of West Oakland is shut off from the benefits of rising home prices. Having involved, decent landlords is great. But in a different world, more West Oaklanders would be landlords themselves. Then it wouldn't just be a few property owners taking care of a street. It would be the whole street taking care of itself. In Oakland, I'm Charlie Mintz for Cross Currents.
What is changing on your street? You can let us know by calling 415-264-7106. That number again to leave us a message is 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Landlords like those on Mead Avenue are one type of property investor, but Oakland's also got another. Earlier this year, the nonprofit Urban Strategies Council released a report showing that investment companies, many of them based out of town or out of state, have been buying huge tracts of foreclosed properties, sometimes taking ownership of entire blocks. Steve King, one of the report's authors, recently took us on a tour of one of those blocks.
It's just sort of striking now as we're walking along this block that knowing that most of these properties have been foreclosed and a significant number of them have been purchased by investors, it's really hard to tell that it's not necessarily visible to the naked eye that there's been this significant transfer of ownership in the neighborhood.
King says no one knows exactly what this means yet, other than that more property is changing hands. But some people are worried that more out-of-town ownership means less investment in communities. In other words, fewer Mead Avenues. In this piece from our archives, reporter Casey Miner follows what's happening to many of Oakland's foreclosed properties and what some groups are doing to rebuild.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. We are going to have an auction now. And as you can see, we are auctioning this lovely Manhattan condo, luxury condo that was purchased by Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd Blankfein back in 2008 for $26 million.
What you're hearing might sound like a high-profile auction in New York City.
I wish you could see the lobby of this building. The lobby is bigger than some small countries.
But it's actually a protest in Oakland on the steps of the Alameda County Courthouse. The auctioneer is Bruce Mirkin, who works for a nonprofit called the Greenlining Institute. He's here to make a point that while millions of families have lost their homes to the financial crisis, wealthy CEOs like Goldman Sachs Lloyd Blankfein have made huge profits.
Every unit has an individual wine cellar. This is 6,100 square feet. Absolutely beautiful.
People in the crowd are happy to play along with the mock auction.
So we're going to ask for an opening bid of $100. Do I hear $100? Anybody?
$12.50?
$12.50. Now, come on. We can do better than that, folks. And indeed,
several homeless displaced families could be housed in just one of these bedrooms.
As Mirkin closes out the sale,
$550 sold to the lovely young lady for $550.
It's hard not to notice the other group of people gathering behind him. They're here for the real auction of real foreclosed homes that takes place on these steps almost every day. The demonstrators here today are interested in that group, too. For them, it's not just important to know who moves out of a neighborhood. They also want to know who moves in.
That has implications not only for the housing stock itself, but also for the social cohesion in the neighborhood. Who's going to be living in these neighborhoods going forward?
Carolina Reed works with the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. She researches the impact of foreclosures in low-income and minority neighborhoods. She says investor-owned properties aren't necessarily a bad thing, but when homes are vacant or not well-maintained, they can attract crime and drugs, regardless of who owns them. It's bad for resale value, bad for communities. Reed says that's the worst-case scenario.
I think best-case scenario, which is what I prefer to think about, is that we see this as an opportunity to purchase some of those homes, like under the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and really renovate them for affordable housing and affordable homeownership opportunities so that we get families back into those neighborhoods living in those homes.
The Neighborhood Stabilization Program, or NSP, sends federal money to local governments so they can buy and fix up foreclosed homes. In 2009, Oakland awarded $5 million in NSP funds to the Oakland Community Land Trust. Ann Griffith is the Land Trust's executive director.
We're buying the least desirable houses, the ones that have sat on the market a long time that the investors have passed over.
Griffith says the Land Trust would eventually like to buy 200 Oakland properties and resell them to low-income families. The process goes like this. The land trust buys both a house and the land underneath it, but what they sell you is just the house. Practically speaking, you wouldn't notice anything different. The house would still be yours. But when you're ready to move, you sell the house back to them, and they resell it at an affordable price. The land trust has bought 17 houses so far, but they've only finished renovating 6. Griffith sometimes visits the properties that are still in progress. As she pulls up to one house on Cherry Street in East Oakland, she says the renovation process is slow going.
They also keep painting over the graffiti, hence the brown paint you see there. It's a canvas, otherwise, you know.
But graffiti isn't their only problem. Griffith had heard that there was a squatter using the house, so she's here to check it out.
Walking through.
Okay.
The house is not in good shape. It's dark. Most of the windows are boarded up. And there are little piles of shattered glass on the floor. The walls are crumbling. The bathroom smells awful. And there's no running water. But it's clear someone has been living here. There's a sleeping bag and a teddy bear in one of the bedrooms. And the stairwell smells like old cigarettes. Griffith makes a quick call to her contractor, Fred McKay.
Hey, Fred, it's Anne. I just met our squatter over at Cherry. I'm hoping that this house is on your schedule for boarding and replacing locks today. Okay, thanks.
Griffith says just knowing about the squatter is actually a good sign. Someone in the neighborhood had told McKay about him. Another neighbor, she says, wants to buy the house once they fix it up.
Yeah, and there are definitely folks who are really interested in being a part of rebuilding community. I think that people do appreciate that that's part of what this is about. It's not just a house. It's also about participating in your community and being a part of change.
Even if the land trust does eventually buy 200 properties, there are still thousands of foreclosed homes throughout the city. But other initiatives are cropping up all over the Bay Area. Tenants' rights groups have campaigned to make sure the water stays on in foreclosed rental homes. Cultural associations and church groups are working to help families get loan modifications. And real estate agents are holding workshops to help people stay in their homes. After locking up at Cherry Street, Griffith drives around the corner to another land trust house.
Come on in.
This one's done being renovated, and it couldn't be more different from the first. White walls, clean hardwood floors, lots of air and light.
We've replaced all the windows, the dual paint windows. This is the new bamboo flooring that I was describing.
A family's going to move in soon, people who know the neighborhood. Griffith says it won't stop the foreclosure crisis. But for this home anyway, it's a new start. In Oakland, I'm Casey Miner for Cross Currents.
Since that story first aired, Ann Griffith has left the land trust. She now works with Enterprise Community Partners in San Francisco. Carolina Reed now teaches at UC Berkeley. Meanwhile, the land trust bought 17 single-family homes. They've rehabbed 9, and they'll have the rest done by sometime next year. They've sold 3 of those homes, and they're in contract on a 4th. They're holding a free home buying workshop on December 15th at Operation Hope in Oakland. You can find more information at their website. It's oakclt.org. And we'll put a link to that at our website, which is kalw.org. We want to hear about the ways your community is handling foreclosures. You can join our discussion at our Facebook page. We're KALW News. And if you've gone through a foreclosure, you have the right to request a government review of the process for free. It's through the Federal Independent Foreclosure Review Program. Anyone who went through foreclosure proceedings in 2009 or 2010 is eligible. You can find all of that information at our website. It's kalw.org. And the filing deadline is December 31st of this year. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. The foreclosure crisis hit East Oakland particularly hard, but down the road by Lake Merritt, one community space has been able to keep its doors open. The Oakland Cathedral, more formally known as the Cathedral of Christ the Light, is hard to miss with its towering glass and steel facade. Since its opening in the fall of 2008, it's become a place where Catholics and non-Catholics alike have come for peace and solace. And today it's the subject of our most recent edition of Hear, Hear.
Here?
Here?
Here.
Okay, together. Okay.
Here, here.
A pop-up radio project from KALW. Our Hear, Hear producers have been asking you for places in your neighborhood that are meaningful. It's for our ongoing community storytelling project. Here's Oakland resident David Peterkofsky.
One of my favorite spots in town has been here for far less time than I have, and that's the Cathedral of Christ the Light, which opened in 2008 near Lake Merritt. First, a little background on me. I'm not overly religious, and as a matter of fact, I'm not even Catholic. But I am a sucker for modern architecture, and there's something inviting and inspiring about the cathedral, especially once you're inside. For one thing, it's very 21st century. There's a high glass atrium ceiling that's warmed by sunlight peering through wood beams, and there's long, minimalist wood pews and polished concrete floors. A big, ghost-like image of Christ is on the tall wall of windows behind the altar, in case you forget where you are. And in off hours, which is when I stop by, there's a hushed vibe inside, with maybe a handful of visitors praying or taking solace. And I've often done the latter. I stop in after a walk around the lake to sit down, take stock in my life, and try to move forward. I'm not planning on becoming a Catholic anytime soon, but as long as I live in Oakland, I'll keep coming back to my favorite refuge by the lake.
That's Oakland resident David Peterkofsky. He contributed his piece online for our community storytelling project, Hear, Hear. And you can do that as well. You can either call us at 415-264-7106 and tell us about a place in your neighborhood that's meaningful for you. That number again to leave a message is 415-264-7106. Or you can go online to hearhear.kalw.org. Get ready, here it is again. hearhere.kalw.org. And you can record your answer to our question with our new online tool. And while you're at KALW.org, don't forget to RSVP for our live show. It's going to be December 8th at the Oakland Museum of California, and it's totally free. And you are invited. Go to KALW.org to find all of the details. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. Today's team includes Isabel Angel, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Panina Eilberg-Schwartz, RTM's Kunahoffs, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Erica Moo, Seth Samuel, Raisu Sussman, and Stephen Short. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And don't forget to thank yourself, because we are listener-supported radio. What do you call the winner of Best Song in three different categories in last summer's Independent Music Awards poll? The answer is Blame Sally. Blame Sally will be performing in the Bay Area on Saturday for the first time since winning those awards, and you're listening to them now. They'll be at the Canbar Center for Performing Arts, part of the Osher Marin JCC in San Rafael. Music starts at 8 p.m. All of that information is at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.